Says the Gemara on the Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan. Let's go back to the last word on the line. Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan. Hanichnas lebeis hakisei choleitz tefilah. If somebody enters the beis hakisei, he must remove his tefillin. Berichuk dalad amos. 4 amos away from the beis hakisei. And only then, the nichnas, will he then be able to enter. Omarav, acha omarav huna, omarav sheshes. Loi shanu, that was only ever taught to us. Elo, the beis hakisei kavua. Only on what we call a beis hakisei kavua, where there is soya there already. Avol beis hakisei arai, you do not need to remove the tefillin 4 amos away. Choleitz the nifne la'alta. So there he can remove the tefillin and be relieved immediately. He doesn't need to do so at a distance of 4 amos. However, kushu yoytze, upon exiting, after all, he has now made this place into a beis hakisei kavua, and therefore kushu yoytze, marchik dalad amois, he will then distance himself dalad amois umanichon, and then put them back on. Why so? Because he has now made this place into a beis hakisei kavua. That's what we saw last time. Says the Gemara, Iboya luhu, we now have the following shayla. Mahu shiyikonis odom b'tfilin. Is a person allowed to enter whilst wearing tfilin le beis hakisei into a beis hakisei kavua? Lahashtim mayim. So apparently until now we were talking about tzoya, and now we're talking about meiraglayim. Maybe that's considered less of a bizoya in for the tefillin.
Isn't this a contradiction to what we just read, where we say we couldn't go into a base kisei kavua with tefillin on, and now the Gemara is asking if you can go in to a base kisei kavua?
Right.
It's the same thing. What's the shaila?
Right. This is a good point. This we I think we left off with last time. What's going on over here? Is the issue the actual wearing or bringing in of the tefillin into the beis hakisei? By the way, we'll remember that Rashi said you're allowed to be holding them in your hand. It's just that it shouldn't be worn, because if it is worn, then that's more of a gnai.
That's because I'm beholden to my tefillin.
So the question was, here we're talking about the tefillin on his head. Rashi clearly said, Mao shikonez b'tefillin k'shehein b'roishay ka'oma. We are talking about when the tefillin are on his head. So therefore, really, Rabbi Eliyahu David, this is your question. If indeed the tefillin are on his head, then surely he shouldn't be allowed to enter the Beis HaKisei in the first place, even if he does nothing there at all. So what exactly is the Gemara Shaila? So let's keep on going. We'll try and work this out. So says the Gemara, Is he allowed to enter the Beis HaKisei, as Rashi says, actually wearing the tefillin on his head, not in his hand? But it is not, we're not discussing tzoya, we're discussing miraglaim. What's the halacha there? Says the Gemara, Amachloikas, Ravina Shari. Ravina says, yes, no problem at all. Rav Adar bar Masna Osar. So a machlokes between Ravina and Rav Adar bar Masna. Also they came, Shailuha l'Rava. They asked this very question to Rava. Omalohu Osar. Yes, I concur with the opinion that outlaws it. I also maintain it's Osar. Why? Not because it's essentially osa, but rather because chayshinon shemo yifne bohen. as Rashi said, one word, gedolim. He is involved at the moment in Ketanim. But once he's in the Beis HaKiseh, the concern has to be that maybe he will eventually end up relieving himself, gedolim, and that would definitely be also one possibility. V'omri lo, and some say no, shemo yofiach bohen. The issue is not whether it's ketanim or gedolim, but rather he will not be able to maintain a guf noki. So therefore, either way you see from this Gemara, it would seem to be that essentially there's no problem at all. We're only saying it's asa because of what may happen by accident, which seems to be quite clear that you're actually allowed to be entering the Beis HaKiseh with the tefillin on your head, and that seems not to be a problem at all. And the issue is only because maybe it'll end up gedolim, or maybe he will not have a guf noki. That's the issue, which therefore presents a difficulty in the previous Gemara. Why did you have to remove your tefillin 4 amos away from the Beis HaKiseh? If the issue is not actually entering or getting close to the Beis HaKiseh, then I understand. 4 amos away is asa. But if the issue is only actually relieving oneself whilst wearing tefillin, so why do you have to do so 4 amos away? And if it indeed is asa to get anywhere near a Beis HaKiseh, so Rabbi Yehudovit, as you asked, so why is the Gemara now discussing Lahashtin Mayim and not just discussing it? It seems to be quite clear in the Gemara that essentially it's muta. And it was only ever asa because of chashashos, what this might lead to. But one second, what was the heter to enter the Beis HaKiseh in the first place whilst the tefillin on your head, irrespective of what you do there? So this is a serious problem. Let's continue and see if we can find an answer to this shayla. Says the Gemara. If you look at the top tasers, by the way, first have a look at the top tasers. Chayshinon shemo yifne bohen. So remember, this is the first reason of the Gemara, that you're not allowed to enter Beis HaKiseh, even lahashtin ma'im. Why not? Because, not that essentially it's asa, but rather because maybe this will lead up, this will end up, shemo yifne, which as Rashi said, means gedolim, says Tosfos. V'dafka bebeis hakiseh kavua chayshinon shemo yifne bohen. Our whole discussion is Hamta'a Gemara is only ever discussing a Beis HaKiseh Kavua. That is when we are concerned that if he's involved in Ketanim, this may end up Gedolim. Avol the Beis HaKiseh Arai. But if it's a Beis HaKiseh Arai, which means an area which is not essentially designated to be a bathroom, She'ein Regilim Lifnois Shom, where it is not the Derech, at least for Gedolim, Muta lahashtin bohen. According to this reason, it would be muta for ketanim, v'loi chayshinon shemo yifne bohen. And there would be no concern of maybe. In other words, yes, it's as osa to do gedolim, but to say that maybe this will happen, no, I don't need to be concerned that maybe this will happen because this is not the norm in this particular area because it's a Beis HaKiseh Arai. Says Tosfos, Vaha, the Tanya Lekamon. But the Maisa, we have a Braisa later on. We'll see this on Amud Beis. It says there, Loi Yashtin Bohen. One should not be involved in Ketanin. Bohen, meaning whilst wearing your tefillin, Afilu Beis HaKiseh Arai. How can I possibly say, asks Tosfos, that in the Beis HaKiseh Arai, Ketanin Mamuta, but we have a Mefurash Gemara that says the exact opposite. A Mefurash Gemara that one cannot enter Beis HaKiseh Arai even for Lahashtin Mayim, which is Ketanim. Says Tosfos, that different. Hainu dafka kesha oichazon biyodai. There, it's actually worse. He's holding the tefillin in his hand. Why is that worse? the chashinon shemo yeshafshif bohen hanitzoitzois. Nitzoitzois is a very, very important word in the context of our sugya. We're going to bump into it again. Literally translated, but that's not the translation in our context. Literally translated, nitzoitzois means sparks. But in our context, it means droplets. So, Tez Tosfos, even though it says in the Gemara later on that one cannot be involved even in Ketanim whilst with your tefillin, there's Tuma, your tefillin are in your hand. It means you're holding your tefillin bag. So why is that worse? I would have thought it's better, not worse. So he says, no, because Shemo Yeshafshef. Yeshafshef means to rub. He might rub any droplets that have splashed with his tefillin. Meaning, if whilst he's involved in Ketanim, there are nitzoitzoitz, which splash on him or around him, so he's very likely to take whatever comes to hand to wipe those. And if he's got tefillin in his hand, well, obviously that'll be a bizoyin to the tefillin. If he's wearing the tefillin on his head and on his arm, well, it's not very practical, therefore, to wipe up any mess with the tefillin, because they're not very mobile, he's wearing them. But if he's carrying them in his hand, then the chashash is, not the concern of the actual ketanim, the chashash is that he might use the tefillin as some sort of a tissue to mop up, as a towel. And that's the problem. The chashinon shemo yeshafshef bohen hanitzoitzes. We're worried that he might clean up or rub. Yeshafshef literally means to rub, but again, in our context, to clean up. He might clean up the nitzoitzes, any splashed droplets, with the tefillin which are holding him in his hand. Im yiplu mayim al raglov, for example, if any of the mayim dribbles onto his feet. Oy yiga ba'amo. Ba'amo, again, as we've said so many times, the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh is that there are no words for any vulgar concepts. Amo, literally we know amo normally means an arm. Amo is an arm, right? We know two amos, four amos, esa amos, it's a measurement of amo. In this context, it doesn't mean that. Here, it actually means his aver, his bris mila. We use, again, a metaphor, the amo. So, o yiga ba'amo means that if he's holding the tefillin, there's a concern that the tefillin might come into contact with the amo. That will be a concern, that will be a bizayin. So it seems to be from Tosfos that with regard to a Beis HaKisei Arai, one would be permitted lahashtin mayim ktanim. There is no concern of Shemo Yifne because that's not the norm in this place. If, however, he's holding the tefillin, that's a completely different story. Then there is a concern that that might come into contact with something that we considered a bizoyin for the tefillin, either with the Meiraglaim themselves or with the Bris Mila. Either way, that would be a bizayin. Excuse me. Okay, back into the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tanya Idach. We have another Braisa. So we have just now, let's sum up the story. We have just now in our Gemara said that Lahashtin Mayim, at least in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, as Tosfos has pointed out to us, in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, then Lahashtin Mayim is Osir. Why? Because of the concern of what this might lead to. Either Shemo Yifne Bohen or Shemo Yofiach Bohen. Really, it was a Machlekes Amoroyim, but at least that was the opinion of the Oisrim. Says the Gemara, Tanya Idach. Tanya Idach, we have another Brice, and it says as follows. Hanichnas lebeis hakisei kavua. If somebody enters a beis hakisei, a kavua, a permanent one. Choyleitz tfilov berichuk dalad amos. He should remove his tfilin four amos away, which so far is consistent with what we learned in the earlier Brice. Umanichon bechaloin. And he should place them in the window, hasamuch l'rishus harabim, which is close to the rishus harabim. We'll see more about this in Rashi. V'nichnas. And then, and only then, can he enter the Beis HaKiseh. U'kashahu yoytzeh, and once again, once he leaves, marchik dalad amos, he must distance himself four amos, umanichon, and he then can replace them, he put them back on, divrei Beis Shammai. So, remember we discussed in the earlier Gemara, the Gemara did not tell us, although Rashi did, and Rashi, in fact, is quoting the Gemara that we are now going to learn. The Gemara told us that when you remove the tefillin, which you have to do, by the way, four amas before you get to the Beis HaKiseh. So the question became, fine, I'll remove my tefillin, but where do I put them? The Gemara didn't tell us. All I know is you're not supposed to be wearing the tefillin, at least the tefillin shel Rosh. But the Gemara never told us what you do with the tefillin. So you'll remember Rashi said you're allowed to hold them in your hand because that way they're considered more concealed. It's only a bizoyin if you're wearing them on your head. But the Gemara did not tell us that. Rashi did. Here we see that there's actually a machloikas tanoim. And it's machloikas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Those who were with us on our Vad on Monday night, we discussed the gadlus of Shammai, the gadlus of Hillel, why it is that we paskin like Hillel, even though they are both emes. But either way, Beis Shammai says that you must place the tefillin in the window, which means that you should not be holding them in your hand. Says the Gemara, divrei Beis Shammai. Ubeis Hillel oimrim, and Beis Hillel say something different. Oichzon beyadoi. You're allowed to hold them in your hand. This is what Rashi was quoting, the Nichnas, and you may enter that way as well. So remember, this was a tremendously important opinion, and we discussed this when we saw Rashi. You see from this Gemara that there is no Issa essentially to bring the tefillin into the Beis HaKiseh. At least, according to Beis Hillel. Maybe according to Beis Shammai there is. But according to Beis Hillel, who does not require you to place your tefillin in the window, no, you may be holding them in your hand. Now, one second. If you're holding them in your hand, at the end of the day, you're bringing tefillin into the Beis HaKiseh. So it seems to be that Beis Hillel is not concerned with that. With the obvious question being, so why does it make a difference whether it's on its head or on his hand? So if you remember, Rashi told us one word. You remember that one word? That if it's on its head, it is golui. Golui mean it is visible. If it's in your hand, meaning you can hold it in your hand and your hand will cover it. But if it's on your head, then that will be visible. That is considered a bizoyin. Beis Shammai seems to disagree. Beis Shammai says you have to leave it in the window, presumably as you come into the Beis HaKiseh. So far, two opinions. Here comes the third opinion. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Oichzon Babigdai V'nichnas. Rabbi Akiva seems to adopt a middle opinion. He disagrees with Beis Shammai, just like Beis Hillel does. You do not need to leave your tefillin behind by the entrance. But he does not agree with Beis Hillel, who says you can carry him in your hand. Rather, oichazon bebigdoi. You should be holding them in his beged. It should be covered by his beged, and then the nichnas, and then he can enter. And that's a little bit strange. What does that mean, oichzon bebigdoi? How do you hold something with your beged? presumably means tuck it underneath your baggage, which is a bit of a risky proposition because it could slip out. You're not holding it. Says the Gemara immediately, "Babigdoi salkadata?" Question mark. Can that really be literal? That you hold it in your bag and you just tuck it into your sleeve, for example, or underneath your jacket? That's extremely risky. Why is it risky? Zimnin, because on occasion, mishtali, he will forget lehu about them. Venofli, and they will fall. Mishtali, if you're holding it in your hand, so you're holding it, you're clutching onto it. But if it's just sitting inside your beged, then maybe you'll forget about it and it'll slip onto the floor. That can't be literal. Says the Gemara, Ela, Eima, let us suggest that what it really means is, Oichazon bebigdai ubeyodai. Venichnas. He's got to be holding it in his beged and also his hand. We'll see what this means. Umanicham b'chayrim hasmuchim lebeis hakisei v'lo yanicham b'chayrim hasmuchim l'shus harabim shemo yitlu oisom oivrei drochim v'yovoi lidei chashad. He says you should put them in the chayrim. What is the chayrim?
Cavity in the wall.
Chayrim literally translated is a hole, as you quite rightly say, wrong and say cavity. Hasmuchim lebeis hakisei. On the inside. Remember, what did Beis Shammai tell us before? Where must you put your tefillin? You've got to put your tefillin on the chaloyim, he says, on the Rishus HaRabim entrance. You have to remember, everybody, by the way, the windows in the times of Chazal did not look like the windows that we have nowadays. A window, essentially, was just a hole in the wall. That's what it was. You had the thickness of the wall, and then you just carved out a hole, and that became your window. And if it was cold, you took a piece of wood and you blocked it up. There's no sliding glass windows or trisim or anything like that. So when we talk about putting something in the window, that's a little bit undefined. Where exactly in the window? There is a thickness of the wall. So if you're standing on the wall outside, you can either put it just a few centimeters into the window, which means it is on the street side of the window. If you push it further in, then it's on the Beis HaKisei side of the window. Beis Shammai said you should put it on the base, you should put it on the Rishus HaRabim side of the hole, of the window. And Rabbi Akiva is saying, no, put it on the Beis HaKisei side of the window. So you're not actually taking it all the way into the Beis HaKisei, it's in the window. But on which side of the window is it? It is the Beis HaKisei side of the window. Now, why would it make a difference which side of the window it is? So let's look at the Gemara again. Umanicham b'chayrim, you put it in the hole or the cavity. Hasmuchim la Beis HaKisei, but v'lo yanichem b'chayrim hasmuchim l'shus harabim. But do not put it in the hole which is on the close to the Rishus HaRabim side. Shema yitlu oisom oivrei drachim. What's oivrei drachim? Passers by, wayfarers. If somebody sees tefillin lying in the window in an exposed place, then somebody might come and take it. And what's the problem if somebody takes the tefillin? The yavoi lidei chashad. And you will come to suspicion. What will be the suspicion? because he's going to walk out of the Beis HaKisei. He's going to look for his tefillin, and they're not going to be there because somebody would have taken them, which means he'll now have to walk around without tefillin, which looks very suspicious. Remember, as we once said, it's not like now. Now we only wear tefillin in shul, but there everyone used to wear tefillin the whole time. If you remember, we discussed this. The Gemara says, if you come to a Beis HaKisei, remove your tefillin. Which tefillin? Who says he's wearing tefillin? The answer is because they were always wearing tefillin. They walked around the whole day wearing tefillin. And if you walked around not wearing tefillin, then you looked highly suspicious. So the Gemara does not say, don't leave it in the window on the street side because maybe it'll get stolen, period. The Gemara is not here to give you personal property advice. The Gemara here is to teach you a halachic concept. If the person, somebody steals your tefillin, then that's very unfortunate. That's not what the Gemara is advising over here. The Gemara is paskening, we don't want to have a situation in which he might have to walk around without tefillin, because that will be suspicious. People won't know that actually got taken through no fault of his own. Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Bechoyrin hasmuchim lebeis hakisei. Lifnim min hagoder. Goder is a fence. So presumably there was a fence. Remember, where was the Beis HaKisei? As again, we mentioned, it's not like nowadays. It was basically a patch in a field. So you have a field that has a geder around it, a thick fence, a wall. A geder doesn't need to be like a little wooden fence. It could be a thick brick wall. So you should put your tefillin lifnim min hageder, the inside of the wall, basodeh, in the field, shehu nifnaba, that he is relieving himself in, noisnon b'chayrim, he should put them in the hole, shebekoisel, of the wall. But it's got to be on the inside side. But not b'chayrim asmuchim rishus harabim. Don't put it on the side of the rishus harabim. Chayre koisle mechitzes asode. In the walls of the Sodeh of the field, she'ein achborim mutsuyim b'mokoyim hiluch b'nei Adam. What's an achbor? An achbor is a mouse or a rat, rodents. Ein achborim mutsuyim b'mokoyim hiluch b'nei Adam. Rats are not to be found in a place where people are walking around. So what's Rashi adding this line for about the Einach Borim Mitsuyin Bamokim Hiluch Bnei Adam?
Saying that a mouse won't take it to fill in, a person will.
Yeah, and that's the concern.
Yeah, because either way you have the chashad, because if the tefillin disappear and he has to go around without tefillin, it doesn't matter whether a mouse took them or a human took them, they're gone.
Right, but Rashi just pointing out, the emes is, it's not the achborim, it's the concern, it's the hiluch, it's the people. Okay, either way, we seem to now, therefore, have three opinions in this braisa. Opinion number one was that of Beis Shammai. You must leave your tefillin on the window by the Rishus HaRabim. Opinion number two of Beis Hillel, that no, you can actually be holding them in your hand. You just shouldn't be wearing them on your head. The opinion of Rabbi Akiva is that you should take them off, but put them in the chaloin, in the chayr, on the side of the Beis HaKisei. Otherwise, there is concern if it's left in a public place which is viewable to the public, it might be taken, and that will bring about chashad. says the Gemara, Umaisa, and in fact there was a story. What was the story? The Talmid Echot. There was a particular Talmid, Sheiniach Tfilov Bechoirin Asmuchim Roshus Harabim. So he ignored Rabbi Kiva's halachic ruling. He did put them in a place which is viewable to the public. He put them in a hole by the Roshus Harabim, which means there's always going to be a concern that somebody from the Roshus Harabim is going to take them, which is what happened. Ubos zoino achas, and a zoina, a harlot, came, the noklaton, and she took the tefillin. Ubos lebeis hamedrash, and look how terrible this story ended up. She comes to the beis hamedrash, this zoina, holding this talmid, meaning this talmid chacham's tefillin, which looks highly suspicious. How did these tefillin end up in the hands of a zoina? Ubos lebeis hamedrash, she came to the beis hamedrash and she said, va'omran, she said to presumably whoever was learning there, Ra'u, look, ma'nosan li ploini bischari. Look what somebody gave me as payment for my services. So she clearly was accusing him, wrongly, of him using her services and paying her for them with the tefillin. And obviously, for all the world, that's what it looked like. Why on earth would an Isha Zoyna have somebody else's tefillin in her hands? So she accused him, slandered him and said, yes, he used my services and this was the payment, when essentially nothing to do with the truth. Says the Gemara, Kiven Sheshoma Oisoi Talmid. When that Talmid heard about what happened, Kiven Sheshoma Oisoi Talmid Kach, because the Talmid heard about this, after he heard about it, Olo leroish hagag, he went to the top of the roof, v'nofal umeis, and he fell, presumably committed suicide, and he died. He was so embarrassed by the terrible accusations that were made against him, albeit wrongly, that he committed suicide. But I say, sure, at that time, his skinu, they instituted, finished, we're never doing that again. It's too risky. Therefore, make sure you are holding it in your beged with your hand. As we said, Rabbi Kiva doesn't agree with holding it in your hand. It's got to be concealed by the beged. But he's not happy to have it just concealed by the beged because maybe it can slip. So basically, you put it underneath your jacket and you clutch your hand to that place. So you are holding it essentially with your hand, but it is underneath the beged. Why did they make that takana? Because they saw the terrible consequences of doing the alternative. If you leave the tefillin behind, look at this terrible story. The Zayna came, she accused him wrongly of committing an avera, and that brought about terrible consequences. Okay, we'll hold it over here, and Be'ezus Hashem, we will resume on Sunday. As was mentioned, for those who come to our parasha shiur on tomorrow night, Rav Kornfeld is bringing chasnas, there will not be a parasha shiur. Rav Leo David is pointing out that the Monday night Vad Musa would also seem to clash with the Shev Brochas, so we'll probably give that a break as well, and we'll resume the week after the session.
Shakar, have a good day.
All the best. Have a great day, everybody.
Good job.